Let's look at the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we read from verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance falling? If thou dost well, shall that not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened a mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, we want to talk about how to bring acceptable offering unto the Lord. Those days where we were in primary school, they would teach you that Cain and Abel, when they were bringing, why one offering was accepted, the other one was not accepted. They said it was because he brought rotten yam and all that, and brought it to the Lord, whereas this one brought fat sheep. Brethren, it's far from that. They all brought what they consider very good to the Lord. But the question is, what is it that God desires? It's not a question of what I think the Lord loves, what I think is acceptable, what I think he will accept from me. It is what he wants that you give to him. Once you give to God what he doesn't want, however beautiful in your eyes it might be, it is unacceptable offering. It's unacceptable offering. So we'll look at what made the difference. Now, we'll start by looking at Genesis chapter 1. Let's just read one verse there, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the air. Now, God blessed them and says, be fruitful and multiply. Now, God blessed them at first. But along the line, something happened. The blessing turned to cursing. In Genesis chapter 3, let's look at it again. Now, the difference you begin to see here is that when God blessed them, God brought all of them together and blessed them. But when God was pronouncing curses, he didn't put them together. He started singling them out one by one. First to the serpent. And there is this word, each time you see it, because thou hast done this. Now, because thou hast done this, it has both positive and negative implication. God will look at you, you know, when he's pleased with you. He said, because thou hast done this, from the bowel of his heart, he will begin to pour his blessings. It is the same way when we go into the other side. I say, because thou hast done this. Sorry, what follows is always terrible. So, that was what happened here. The serpent, because thou hast done this. But the one we're interested in is in verse 17, about Adam. About Adam. It said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Now, the question is not because he hearkened to his wife. That was not the problem. But when God is involved, and God gives you deliberate word and instruction. Sorry, you cannot listen to your wife. You make it known to her that this one, it is God. So, but that was the problem. Because, one, God did not tell Eve not to eat that fruit. He told Adam. And Adam is supposed to tell his wife. Now, if the wife ate, it will have rebuked his wife. But God says, we should not eat it, and I told you, why did you eat it? But he just collected it and ate. That was where the problem. He said, because. He could have acted as covering over his wife if he did not eat. Because it will mean that God, you remember, you told me. I was the one that told her. So, or maybe you didn't tell her well or whatever. And God is merciful. But in this case, he didn't do that. He too collected and ate. So that was where the anger of the Lord is, because you did this, which I commanded you not to do. Then the curses started pouring out. Now, we are continuing from verse 17. Say, curse is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorn also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it wert thou taken. For thus thou art, and unto thus shalt thou return. That was the pronouncement that God made on Adam. Now, when you look at, so the first thing God did was to curse the ground. And now, from that point on, God reminded him that this ground that is cursed, well, out of it you were made. And yes, it was made from the dust. And that's why God empowered him, that now that he had been made and received the life of God in him, man had the capacity and the ability to bless that same ground out of which it was brought. But that capacity was taken that day. Because he said, go replenish. God empowered him to do that. But because he ate the fruit in the midst of the garden, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, for which God commanded him not to eat. And the same God also planted another tree in the same midst of the garden, the tree of life, for which he had the authority to eat. But they never touched that one. They never ate it. They were busy eating the fruit of the knowledge of the good and evil. So it was this tree that brought the curses upon Adam. Now, remember, we're talking how to bring acceptable offering unto the Lord. Now, so this ground that was caused because of Adam, and then what happened later was Adam had two kids, and they grew, and then one started tilling the ground. Which ground? The ground that had been cursed. That was where his problem started from. The ground that had been cursed, he was tilling from there, and he brought offering from that ground unto the Lord. Because brethren have been asking God, you know, because many people have been saying, oh, if what he was doing, he brought it unto the Lord. But the issue was that the ground which he tilled was cursed. And nothing had happened to that ground. And he brought fruit out of it to the Lord. And that was why the Lord rejected it. But you know, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The ground was cursed. This ground needs remission. The ground needs blood to cleanse it, to make it acceptable for him to bring offering from it. So instead of doing that, he was just planting anything he likes and now bringing it unto the Lord as his own offering. As far as God was concerned, that ground is cursed, and nothing good can come out of it unless it receives the blood. So that was what made the difference. So this one, when you read that, it was not as if he just brought a cow or sheep and gave to the Lord. He said, and the fat
What is the implication of that? He killed the animal. He killed the animal. Look at
verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof.
So for you to bring the fat, the animal must have been slain. So he knew how to do that and poured the blood on the ground, you know, unto the Lord, and asking God that this land that you have caused, bless it. And that was the difference. And so his offering became acceptable unto the Lord. But the other man cares a little. I'm a farmer and I will bring the yam. So, brethren, the issue is that when you begin to see what happened after that, you know, because this man went ahead and knew that it was not accepted. It was not accepted of God. His offering was not accepted. So what did he do? He pretended as if nothing happened. Yes, he went to God and complained, as usual. And God said, he said, if you do well, your offering will be accepted also, and you will be accepted. And God told him, he said, now, sin is locking at the gate, by the door. What that means is that, because, see, what you did at the first, your offering was not accepted. Now, you are going to add more problems to yourself. So, because of the rejection of your offering, if you know how to do the right thing, then God will accept you. Sometimes, the people of God complain, how is God blessing this brother and not blessing me? Blessing this sister and not blessing me? Do the right thing. And that was what we see here. So, it's not by your murmuring, because the murmuring and not asking yourself, what did I do wrong that my offering was not accepted? And God will show him. Then you can go ahead and do the right thing. But he was not willing to do the right thing. So he thought, by killing the person whose offering was accepted, then he had done the right thing. Not knowing that the blood of the righteous speaks. And speaking to God, that was what happened. You know, later on, the brother Paul was speaking about the blood of Abel, that his brother slew. He said, was doing what? Crying unto God for vengeance. But one thing we also learn is that when you are not accepted and you do evil, God will speak to you. God came and said, Cain, where is thy brother? And that's how to know, brethren, if you are in the Lord. Sometimes, maybe I don't like Barakan. And God will one day will call me and say, where is brother Ken? If I like my brother, you know what I'm going to do? Maybe God wants me to pray for him. Or I carry my phone, I call him. Whichever one you have done, you are showing love. But what was the answer? Am I my brother's keeper? Many a times we do so. Yes. Where is Brother Ken?
That brother, last time I greeted him, he didn't answer me.
You have answered God. What you're actually saying is that, am I my brother's keeper? You don't want to be his keeper.
I don't want to be accountable for him.
God, don't ask me questions about him. I don't want to answer any query.
Brethren, God may ask me, where is thy brother?
Please, where is my brother?
Said, am I my brother's keeper?
What you must know is that we Cain thought by answering God, am I my brother's keeper?
He thought to eliminate God out of the evil he has done. And God told him, you think that this ground can hide your evil? Said, behold, the blood of your brother whom you slew. Because God now must tell him what he had done. Whom you slew, speaking to me from the ground.
Now let's look at it, brethren. He was to bring an offering unto the Lord of blood, so that the blood can speak for him. But instead, he slew his brother. And it doesn't matter now. The blood of animal that he refused to bring to cleanse the land so that it will be accepted by God. Instead, that land received the blood of his brother. And the implication is that instead of the land being cleansed, the land was defiled. Because the Bible says that the blood defiled the land. So, the blood of Abel spoke unto God. And so it is that the blood of several innocent people that have been shed in our land, they are all speaking. You cannot hide it. They are all speaking. They are all speaking. Innocent blood that have been shed in the altar of politics, in the altar of money, mammon. Daily they are crying. And when you are the same people, you kill somebody, some kill 2, 3, 4, 7 to make money. Then maybe one of them appeared to him in his dream. Say, don't kill me, don't kill me. But you kill him. You kill her. But don't kill me. You don't want to die. But you want others to die. The blood of the innocent are crying unto God. And because of that, as if the curse on the ground was not enough. You know, when Abel made his offering pacified God. Let me use that word. Because his offering pleased God. So it meant that the curse on Adam on the ground was being pacified. But instead, this man says, this man whose offering was accepted, his blood must go back to the ground. And that's where there is a problem. Because each time the blood of an innocent is shed, the blood of bull cannot take care of it. Cannot take care of it. No blood of bull, an animal, can take care of it. And what the Bible says, I said, the blood of that person that shed the blood, that's the only thing that can pacify for that blood that was shed. And if that person's blood was not shed to pacify, then there is trouble. unless and until that man runs to the city of refuge and to go there and declare that I did not do this on purpose. That's one. Two, that the elders of that city will first of all take him in and listen to him, and then bring the congregation and bring him also to come and confess what he has done. And then the congregation can give their judgment that you are not guilty. You kill not on purpose. You kill in error, by mistake. And even then, that man must remain in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest that was on the priesthood seat in Israel. If the high priest dies, then you can go back to your inheritance. Now, in Israel, there is when somebody kills from a family, then somebody will rise up in that family as the avenger of blood. It's allowed. That avenger of blood will now be looking for the person who killed a member of his family. Anywhere he sees him, he can kill him and nothing will happen. Because he said that this man killed this, and there was judgment that he was guilty of blood. So Cain was guilty of blood. That's what we are saying. He was guilty of blood because God judged him. God listened to his story, and God pronounced judgment upon him. Now look at what God said concerning Cain. From verse 11. And now, art thou cursed from the earth? Now, the man that was to replenish the earth, because he didn't do the right thing, he slew somebody. And the blood of that person, he said, God says that the earth, the ground, receive the blood of thy brother out of thy hand. What God is telling us is that you kill your brother, you have offered human sacrifice. That's what I'm saying. So it's not that you kill somebody. No. If it were just like that, it could have ended. Then God would not have been interested in it. But the problem was that you offered human sacrifice unto God. Because God tells you in Israel, when you kill the animal, what are you to do? Pour the blood on the ground. So you kill human being, what you have done is you have poured the blood on the ground. So you are telling God, God, receive human sacrifice, the blood of human being. That is an abomination. And that's the problem which came hand. And God showed him the blood, the ground has received the blood of your brother out of your hand. He said, what God is saying is that the ground was what you offered unto. And it was like the ground has received an acceptable offering from you. And because this ground that is receiving an acceptable offering from you, the offering is to the devil, because the devil delights in human blood to receive strength and to receive energy. Because you know, part of when God calls serpent, God said dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. dust will be your food. And he told the man, dust art thou. So what is the meaning of that? Human beings, we have become food for serpents. If you offer yourself. That's the difference. So this man offered blood sacrifice. And serpent received strength from it. And that's why this what was called serpent, the Bible says, was subtle, fragile, in Genesis, became dragon in Revelation. How did it become dragon? Blood, dust, which had been eaten. And especially Christians that are earthbound. And that's why every time the Bible talks about the overcomers, the overcomers, it said they are not subject to the rules of the earth. Them who dwell on this earth. So those who dwell on the earth offer their offerings and sacrifice to the earth, and thereby feeding the serpent and making him to become a dragon. And that's the dragon we're going. As we are strengthening the dragon, he's receiving more energy to fight the people of God. And that's why, if we all choose not to be dust and food to serpent, then the same serpent will have been shrinking in power, in strength. Because the Bible made it clear at the same time to the woman that what? He said, this serpent will bite. But a time comes when the seed of the woman will bruise the head of serpent. So all the things are linked together, brethren. But the most important thing is that we must not be food for the serpent. And this man, Cain, made himself a ready tool to feed the serpent by pouring the blood of his brother. Now, verse 11, continue. It said, now art thou caught from the ground, which has opened a mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall none henceforth yield unto thee as strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. So there is nothing that we can receive when we go the way of Cain. So the question is, what is God asking us? Brethren, the issue of offering is a matter of the soul. It's a matter of the soul. And this same soul is what God called the land, you know, which he promised unto Israel. To let them know that, yes, this promised land is already filled with the Gakashites and the Jebusites and the all of them. Nine strong tribes or ethnic group like we have in Nigeria, all of them offering their own blood. You know, the same Balim will become another name in this among the Ammonites. And then when you become Asherah Pole in among the Philistines, it's the same thing. Madoc, you know, among the Phoenicians and all that, the same devil that is coming up at different names, and people will be offering unto them. But this our soul is a land which God has blessed also, because he's calling a people to come in there and fight and throw away all the gagajais from in there, all the evil from in there. And he has given us the capacity to do so. It's not something that we cannot do, but God wants us, you know, to do so. So, but we need to bring an offering, and that this offering can only come to God if the place where the offering is coming from is cleansed. So, number one, the blood must be on our soul. That's our land. So, gone are the days. It's not I build church from blood money. You build church for God. You are wasting your time. Because our brother in Proverbs, he said, the offering of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord. He said, more so when he bringeth it from a wicked heart. So, any offering you are bringing from the land that is cursed, because the soul of man, he said, the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. It's wicked. So you cannot, and so when you are bringing an offering from there, that offering is a wicked offering coming from a wicked heart. And that's what God is making us to know. So don't just try it. And Cain thought that by bringing good things unto the Lord, then it will be acceptable unto God. It's not so, brethren. It's not so. Any offering that is coming from a wicked heart, the Bible says it's an abomination unto the Lord. And so that's why the blood must touch our soul, must touch our hand. We must give your life to Christ and to begin to plead the blood every day upon that hand. The blood must be speaking. So every offering, because there are horns of the altar that is receiving the blood, so anything that is brought in upon that altar and laid there is cleansed and is acceptable unto God. But when the blood has not touched the horns, and these are the horns that are scattering the nations, the horns that are scattering the people of God, the horn that is pushing away the people of God from coming to God, and God is saying it must be freed. And the way to be freed is that you must bring blood upon these horns of the altar, so that these lions, bulls, this flying eagle disposition, that the desire flying up there, man desiring hell and heaven at the same time, God must deal with it. God must deal with it. The lion, which is our emotion, that's why the emotion is a devouring lion. And that's why God says you cannot bring any offering from there. He said when an animal has been devoured by animal, he said you cannot offer it unto the Lord. In fact, we cannot even eat it. So it's important then the people of God must, what is the heart of God concerning our offering? And we are coming to the time that the whether your offering is accepted or not accepted will determine the direction you are going to go. So, because my word is, why do I care about my offering being accepted? Because when the way your offering goes is the way and the path that you have chosen. Because even when God warned Cain, he couldn't listen again because his offering has separated him from God. So, brethren, we need acceptable offering to be offered unto the Lord, because it will determine the direction we are going to go. Because whether God is going to accept us or is not going to accept us, and any wrong move made after that will become a problem unto our soul. So that let it just be that God bless them and say, replenish the air. That's the good that God wants to impute into our lives. So that we will not come to the position and say, am I my brother's keeper? And we are not, the slaying today is not when you carry cutlass and kill somebody. Because the Bible is clear. If you, your heart, you hate your brother, you hate your sister, you are what? You are a murderer. You are a murderer. Because the same heart for which you are going to bless God is the same one you have locked your brother and your sister and said, never. This is over. Can never forgive him. I can never do this. Remember, in this place, among the people of God, you cannot choose your brother. You cannot choose your sister. Just like parents, you give birth to 2-3 children, 4-5, whatever number. They don't determine the face of the person that will come and follow you. The only thing that, in order, you can be number one, but someone else will be number two. Someone else will be number three. That is how it is in the house of God, brother. You have no choice. Who follows you to the house of God? And whoever you see is your brother and is your sister. It must be accepted and acceptable unto you. Yes, that not to say that your brother should go and stay in sin and be causing pain to your brother. You are also causing yourself. As you struggle to accept the person that is causing pain, but the person that is causing pain must go and wash it. Go to God and ask for forgiveness. Let blood touch your hand. Because the issue is that we are all seeking for forgiveness of God. So, at the same time, you forgive others. And that's why the Lord Jesus taught us how to pray. Forgive me as I forgive my brother and sister. And the Pharisee trying to press him, how many times should you listen before I forgive? 70 times 7 in a day. So that's why you, even if you sit down and you begin to record, even if that your brother is a devil, he cannot offend you 70 times 7 in a day. And that's why it is dangerous to have records of wrong. Dangerous to have records of wrong. Every time you did this, you did this, you did this. May God have mercy. Because once it is like that, what is God saying? He said, danger is locking by the door. Because you won't know when you go and you will slay your brother in your heart. So that's why it's better you quickly forgive. You have no record of wrong, so that you will not slay. Because like that, maybe he didn't plan that he was going to kill Abel. They found themselves in the field and they were alone. And the devil just reminded him, what is left? The two of you are just alone. And whatever you do now, nobody will know. And so maybe he even called his brother to come and do something for him. Maybe. So as the one bent down to do it, he used your cutlass, maybe cut his head or whatever. It's the same way. When you lock your brother and your sister or your sister in your heart, you will not know the day the devil will tell you kill him, and you go ahead and kill him. When I say kill him, not physically, in your heart. You kill him in your heart, you bury him in your heart. He's killed and buried there. And then you will say, no one is seen. And God will call you, where is your brother? But because you locked him there, you have buried him there, of course, you will tell God that, am I my brother's keeper? So the time has come that our offering must have blood. Every day we have to be pleading the blood for cleansing, for forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so we're talking about this remission which God is bringing. So because there is fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is a spiritual matter. And what God desires from every one of us is the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit of the Spirit cannot be found on what the devil has created. So that's why Paul in Galatians chapter 5, from verse 17, was clear that the fruit of the Spirit is what we desire and what we must have. And it can only come from a heart that is cleansed, purified. Even in Israel, it's an undressed land. You cannot bring any fruit there unto the Lord in Israel. You have to dress it. So our soul must be dressed. We must open our soul for the blood of Jesus to touch it, so that the tree, our tree, this will have fruits of righteousness. We'll have holiness in it. Things that will please God, the love that we desire, it will come naturally when your heart is cleansed, purified. But anyone who is still living in sin, he will have problem pleasing God, bringing acceptable offering unto God. So my prayer is that God will help us, grant us grace, that strength, that quickening by His Spirit, in the inner man, to be able, this time, to stand for righteousness. And that will start if we begin to do the first thing. Be on the side of God. Because it's not the day God say, who is on the Lord's side? And you are always be on the side of the devil. That's not the day you be on the Lord's side. Because when God stands and say, who is on the Lord's side? You just discover that
Everything about you is on the devil's side. There's nothing you can do. You can't be on the Lord's side. You just discover that you go, you just go. So that's what we're saying. So let's begin to be on the Lord's side. God bless you.